So we're continuing our shiur on Gan Emunah, the Garden of Faith, or of Shalom Arush. We are learning through the Hebrew version of the book, and we're on page 32. We were discussing the idea, the very fundamental idea, that the reason we're here in this world is to know Hashem. And we get to know Hashem by practicing our Emunah, by seeing Hashem in everything. Shalom writes, "Zeu gam hatzad harishon shel bichira nechona." This is also the first aspect, the first step in having free choice. Know that God exists is the first step in having free choice. A person can't have free choice if he doesn't know what he's choosing, what's available. I'm not aware that God exists, or He's not real for me. My choice is not a real choice. I'm being played by the forces of my imagination. I'm not choosing between good and bad. I'm choosing between bad and bad. There's no good option in even in the equation. Because what am I choosing for? God doesn't exist. And all of my choices in life are flawed. If I choose to do something good, but I'm not doing it for God, because God's not in my picture, then what am I doing it for? There is no other good outside of God. So my motivation is then an incorrect motivation. I can't save the world. I can't save the dolphin or the squirrel or anything based on a notion that's outside of God. If I do, at best it's simply incorrect, but it's more likely to be very damaging. Because ultimately, usually comes down to I'm doing it for myself. If God isn't the arbiter of truth, and the only person left to be the arbiter of truth is me, I'm doing it because I think it's a good idea. So the knowledge of God, this is probably not, he doesn't go into it much further here, but the knowledge of God is the first step, it says over here, to free choice, to real free choice. Now that we know this, now that we have our basic principles in place, that God exists, that He's running the whole world, and that my job in life is to get to know Him, then what that means is that I now am obligated to pay attention to everything that I go through, to all things that happen to me in life, and to see how through all of these things I'm able to come to know Hashem. If we said that the main purpose in life is to know Hashem, and I'm now obligated to try and see Hashem in everything that goes on, I'm looking for Hashem, I want to know Hashem. How do I do that? Well, I can either go to my room and close my eyes, think about God, which is one way, it's a good start. Or, but He didn't create the world that way. He could have created us so that we go and sit on a mountain and contemplate the heavens. But that's not the way He created us. It's not what He wants from us. He wants us to live our lives. So, through living our lives, our job is to see Hashem in everything. It's mentioned in the first Torah of Rabbi Nachman, Likutei Moran. The job of an Ish Yisraeli is to see God in everything. But we have to know that every detail of our life comes from Hashem. The Tov or Borah, the good or otherwise. But mark b'koach, avi otov b'tachlit hazu. We need to bring everything into this aspect. Everything in our lives, our goal is to try and look at it through this frame, through this perspective of Hashem. To see Hashem in everything. Shouldn't be anything, hopefully. But that's the goal. That we should aim, that there should be no aspect of our life where we can't see Hashem in it. Pam Rabot, Kashi Adam e Nomitore Lassim Lev Lewimuzi Mizotav Shel Hashem Bevorach. If a person doesn't do this, if a person doesn't see Hashem in his life, then if Hashem wants to wake him up, he's going to have to give him more difficult tests, more difficult awakening. And if still, even after Hashem starts knocking more loudly, the guy doesn't wake up anymore, even after that. God will take a person to a place where there is no solution by way of nature, no natural solution whatsoever to the problem, until he's forced against his will to rely only on emuna. And Chazal said that we have no one on whom to rely upon apart from God. So, we don't want to be brought to those situations where by force we have no choice but to see Hashem because there's absolutely no other solution. And we don't want to be in those places because they're not fun. So, we have to start seeing Hashem ourselves. Rav Shon now brings a quote from the Zohar where it says, "Shetchila b'inyan emuna hi hamachshava v'akara, she'enu rak olam hazeh, ela gam yesh olam haba." The starting point for building one's emuna is to know that there's not only this world, but also the world to come. That knowledge is an intrinsic part of building emuna. To know that there's a world to come. Kamosha Muva, Ikazikon, who is called Tamid Bolama Ba, Shiloh Yebada, Tochas Vashlom, Shaino Lama Ze Elechad. He also brings up a Temaran that says the same thing. The person needs to be aware that there's a world to come, and not only this world. And we have to constantly be aware. So much so that Rabbi Nachman brings that a person should, the first thought he should have when he wakes up in the morning, before even he says Modani, before he moves from his bed, before he opens his eyes, his, the first thought that should enter a person's head is the world to come. That's what he says. First thought that should enter our head. Right? That this world isn't the only reality. That there's that the real, the main thing, the main purpose, and the main goal is Olam Haba. What's going to be? What's going to happen in the world? Right? What's going to be in the future? That thought is going to power us and motivate us through the difficulties of this life, because this life is tough. And if we think, or if we forget, and we think that this is the only show that there is, so a person can go very much off course. Because it's not logical to fight against your Yetzirah. Why should you? Yetzirah is telling you there's lots of good stuff out there. Lots of nice chocolate cake to eat and chocolate ice cream and all the other good stuff. If there's only this world, so it's logical, may as well go after it, may as well taste it, enjoy it, why not? And it's very hard to resist the Yetzirah unless I'm clearly focused and aware of the world to come. The world to come, not only because that gives me a purpose and a motivation, this is what I'm working towards, this is what I'm striving towards, also because I remember that there's going to be a world to come, there's going to be a judge and a judgment and a day of judgment, and I'm going to be called to task for everything. So for the good and for the bad, it's going to I should try and remember the world to come. Another reason he brings is Kol adam shebari benafsho eino mochon lasot shum pula bli shetihyeh lo tachlit u'toeret. Right, so he brings here something we mentioned earlier, that no person would do anything without a purpose. Right, for example, if a person's asked to lift his arm up and down and to do it for an hour without any reason, then on no account would he agree to it, because there's no purpose. Even if someone paid him to do it, a person wouldn't do it, because a person doesn't do anything without a purpose, without a benefit. So he brings a kal vachomer if we say that about a person who's simply a created individual. Kol shechem etzel aboreh shebevadai eino aseh shum devar v'lo tachlit. For sure Hashem doesn't do anything without a purpose. Right? If we wouldn't do anything for no reason, then Hashem for sure wouldn't do anything without any reason. Lo yitachen sheboreh b'rayat olam kulo sheboreh ein sof pratim Hamishtal vim zebaze b'diyuk nifla v'amei b'hor b'hod v'yofi v'chein mufla li shetiye l'chach sibat v'tachlit. Person should therefore know that if he looks around him, he sees this world which is so intricate, so designed, so perfect, so beautiful, so complex, so wonderful and amazing, that for sure Hashem wouldn't have created all of this for no reason, for no purpose, for no ultimate reason, that we're simply here and then it all disappears. We're here for however long we're here for, and then everything switches off. Same reason he wouldn't have created a man either, a person, an individual, with the way he's built, the way he's created physically and spiritually and mentally and emotionally, with such powers and such strengths and such desires and thoughts, without an ultimate purpose. Right? Why build all that and why create all that, each of us individually, special and as unique as each one of us is, if at the end there was no point? You're just going to switch it off and throw it away, right? And it's all going to go to dust, and it was as if there was no point. So clearly that's not the case. So every person needs to ask himself, can it be, every person should ask himself, can it be that the purpose for which Hashem created all of this and me can be achieved just by this world? Could Hashem's creation be achieved by what we see around us? In which everything goes to destruction and death. Can it be that Hashem would create a person with all of his feelings and his spirituality and his understanding, and then for this he's going to live 70 or 80 years and suffer terribly throughout all that period, and then afterwards he'll simply die and that will be the end of the story? And everything that he strived for, everything that was his life, right, will simply disappear. This is something that a person, it's not conceivable that would be the case. Therefore, we must say that it's a given that the life of the soul must continue after the death of the body. At that time, it can merit to receive the eternal reward of the world to come. Like it says in Masechet Avodah Zarah, Hayom la'asotam u'machal la'kabel sechan. Now, in this world, is the time for doing, And tomorrow, meaning in the world to come, is the time to receive the reward. Top. So that's what we're doing it for. It's good, very good to remember, for us to remember all the time that there's a world to come. Because I'll say, how does a person keep away from sin? By remembering the day of his death. Right? By remembering the world to come, it keeps us strong and it keeps us motivated. And it's a good practice for us to continue to remind ourselves throughout the day, not only in the morning when we wake up, but throughout the day, there's a world to come. This isn't it. I'm doing this for a good reason. Says in Shira Shira, I think. Right? There is reward for a person's actions. Right? We go through the day. We have difficult days. Often. A person can start thinking, why am I doing this? What's the point? What am I getting out of this? Right? Particularly when we don't seem to get encouragement, complimented, acknowledged, noticed, right? Here I am struggling away and no one cares, no one pays attention, no one is interested in me. So we have to encourage ourselves, right? That there is an eye that sees and a hand that writes, and everything is recorded. And everything we do, even from the smallest thing, is hugely rewarded in the world to come. But there is a world to come. But everything is good. And that can help us tremendously with our emunah. Because as we're going to learn, emunah is for those times when logic doesn't apply. If we can apply our logic to a situation, we don't need emunah. When we can see the reason why things are happening to us, when we can understand, even we can understand what God's doing, it's not emunah. The time when I understand God's plan, I'm looking around and seeing, yeah, I see why God's doing this, I understand what's going on here. That's not emunah, right? I'm using my sechel now for logic. Doesn't make sense to me. I understand what God's doing here. It's clear that He's got a plan, He's got a reason, everything. That's not emunah. Emunah is when I have no clue what's going on. I don't understand anything, and I'm completely lost. At that point, I'm relying solely on Hashem, and I'm trusting that Hashem is good. I'm relying on my emunah. That's my emunah. In a time of darkness, emunah b'leilot, right? That's when emunah appears and is used. Only it's at those times. And knowing that there's a world to come is very helpful for that. Because at those times when I have no clue what's going on, I can rely on the world to come. It's all going to be for the good. I don't know how, I don't know why, but I know it will be. There's a world to come, everything is going to be good then. Part of my emunah is to trust in Hashem that everything's going to be sorted out. When's it going to be sorted out? If not here, then there for sure. And everything will become clear to me there. I have no understanding now why I needed to, have a car accident, have a bad back, have a failed marriage, whatever it was. Right? I have no clue to explain it. But Tom, in the world to come, it'll all be clear to me. I have to know there's a world to come. If I'm not confident in the world to come, so then I'm stuck on the fact that I can never understand in this lifetime what happened. I've got a problem with that. But if I know that the rest of me is going to be continuing, so I'll find out later. I understand now. Find out later, that's also fine. I don't need to know now.
But when we have these seemingly negative things occur in our life,
yeah,
we're supposed to look at those and evaluate, what brought those on. Why did that happen? We're supposed to look into it, right? Not just...
Yes.
I'm almost hearing it's okay.
Yes. What's Hashem trying to tell me?
Right.
Yeah. So, what he's trying to tell me in the message doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to get the full picture. Right? I understand that you're trying to get my attention, right? It's part of the message. But why I actually have to go through that entire episode of hell for the last 3 years, whatever it was. I don't know. I have no idea. I get the picture that at the end of it, it turned out fine. It turned out really good, and I got a good sense of who I am, and it helped build me and help me grow in my confidence and whatever it was. But to have to go through all of that, right, so I don't really understand the pain and suffering part. I might get bits of it. So there's still going to be chunks that are a bit, they're going to be absent from me. And for that, I'm relying on Mula. It was still fine. That's the way it needed to be. You needed to do it that way. There was no other better way of telling me the message. Maybe you could have just given me a book and I would have understood the idea. And you wanted me to go through all that. Yeah, I needed you to go through all that. Why? So you don't understand now, but the world's coming, you're going to see. Right? Different Gilgulim, whatever it was. But we can't understand now. I don't know who I was in a previous lifetime. I don't know what I did to people. And the fact that I'm suffering a little bit now is a big kindness to make up for everything that I did in previous lifetimes. Right? But I can't understand that now. And I'm not going to get that until I see in the world to come. I'm going to see all my lifetimes together, exactly who I was and who I wasn't, and how it all fits together. But for that, I'm never going to get that picture now. I'm going to have to rely and trust on those pieces of the jigsaw that I don't have. So at this point, Rav Arash answers the question. You could say, but maybe this world is all there is. Why? Because we see there's reward and punishment even in this world. So maybe this world is the only thing, the main thing, because we have reward and punishment here. So that would then be fine. Kegon hatzlacha ba'alei adam kasher hu oseh ratzon ha'borei. For example, we see that a person can be successful when he does what Hashem wants from him. And we also see that a person has suffering when he does things that God doesn't want. Right? The Gemara says, "Ein yisurim b'lo avon." There's no suffering without sin. So we see that person who does sin, he suffers for it. And we see that person who does fulfill what Hashem wants, he also, the many occasions where we see that he does succeed in life as a result. Right, you should know, Rav Arash writes, that those successes and difficulties that a person encounters as loosely reward and punishment in this world is only in order to keep a person on a straight path. In order to, that a person will know if he's on the right path. The reason why Hashem gives us the reward and punishment in this life is to keep us on the right path, in order to show us what's good and what's bad. Right? That if we start doing things which are bad for us, so Hashem wants us to be aware that that's not good, and we get back on track. And if we start doing things that are good, Hashem wants to encourage us and motivate us to continue in that way. So that's the purpose of the reward and punishment in this life, is to keep us where we should be, not to reward us and not to punish us. It might look like that, but that's not its purpose. The reward and punishment is only in the world to come. So the difficulties and the suffering the person has in this lifetime, in the world, this world, are only in order to wake up a person to examine his deeds so that he doesn't make any more mistakes and come off the path. And they're not punishment and they're not revenge. And if there was only this world, there would be no reason whatsoever for them. Right? There wouldn't be any point in having those types of reward and punishment in this world, because there would be no ultimate purpose. Okay, let's do a little bit more. Parashat Mishpatim, it says in the Parashat Mishpatim, where it's talking about the laws of a person who killed by accident. A person kills a person by accident. He's sent to exile to the Ir Miklat, right? One of the cities of refuge. Right? So we have over here quite an explanation of the parasha and the pasukim that are in there. What he wants to bring from here is the fact that the pasukim show that from the wording of the Torah we see that if a person kills by accident, even though he killed by accident, the wording is that Hashem put it into his hand. He brought him into this situation. And Rav Arush wants to show from here that even when things are an accident, we don't intend to do them, Hashem still causes them. Hashem created that situation. Right? Even it was against our... It wasn't something that we planned, but it was something that Hashem planned. Reinforcing here that everything that happens in the world is only through Hashem. The things that come into our hands, situations that we come across daily, they're created by Hashem. The fact that a person ends up killing someone else by accident is a deliberate act of Hashem. Hashem deliberately wanted that to happen for both of their good. It was a rectification for both souls. The soul of the one who killed and the soul of the one who was killed were both rectified by that action. Both of those actions were very good. They're exactly what needed to happen, and they were for the good. It doesn't look like from this world, maybe. But everything is perfect. Everything is decided. I think we're going to stop there today because we then go on to a new parasha here. Okay, thank you.